33,000 students at the University of Nottingham. They know what this means.
This is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home. What a strike from Ben Osborne.
Ball 25 yards out, he's going to shoot. Oh, what a goal from John Stead.
This is URN Sport.
Yes, it is 6:03 and you're listening to the Thursday Sports Show where we were talking everything Nottingham, including a little roundup of the Bucks results, you know, there haven't been too many. The upcoming Battle of Notts, which will be between the Uni of and Trent ice hockey teams. We'll also be looking at the Nottingham Panthers and how their season has fared to date, alongside a little roundup of the kind of transfer window so far and the results for both Forest and County. But we will first start with the results that have occurred in the new year. We've seen not been a great start to the season for Nottingham. We've lost 4 out of 6 of the men's squash team, losing 4-1 to Warwick. The both men's and women's first hockey team losing 1-0 to Birmingham. The women's table team winning 5-0 against Birmingham first. Mixed golf lost 2.5 to 3.5 against Dunn's first. And the women's table tennis team won 5-0 versus Nottingham Trent. I mean, guys, it's kind of a common story for Nottingham this year. We've done very well in table tennis, but not quite as well in some of the other sports.
I mean, did you? How many of those were against Nottingham Trent? Did you say just the table
just
tennis?
Just the table tennis.
So we won the one that matters.
Yeah, won the one that mattered.
But did you say we lost the squash?
We did lose at squash. It's been one of the better ones this season.
Yeah, no,
but
that's
it's
surprising.
It's the men's first teams against Warwick first, which might kind of explain the result a little bit. But
yeah, Warwick are obviously a good team, but I think that's a bit disappointing. We talk about how much our racket sports have such strength and depth on this show. I think the squash, you mentioned the difference between the thirds and the firsts, but still, I think they'll be a bit disappointed with that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a surprise. I mean, this year we have been carried to an extent by our racket sports. I mean, do you expect the kind of... Do you think it really matters if we're playing against their first team when we're so kind of competent ourselves, guys?
Well, it just depends. I mean, it's a league fixture, isn't it? It's not a friendly. So yeah. It is a competitive fixture. So we're in the league, we're competitive in the same league because we're of roughly the same ability. So to say that we've lost this particular league fixture is disappointing. There might be any number of reasons why our lot would say more that Warwick didn't have exams this time. I don't know. I'm not turning it into Mourinho here. But you know, it is disappointing to see those results. And it might just be a little bit of a shock to the system. Come back after Christmas. Bad result can set you off for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so I mean, we might find a bit more surprising. I mean, both hockey teams did lose. I mean, Birmingham are doing well. I mean, I found quite surprising by looking at the tables earlier. Both our first teams aren't doing great. They're either mid-table or low mid-table. However, hockey itself has got 208 out of our 2,580 points. Do you find it quite odd that it seems that the lower teams are kind of carrying the points tally rather than the kind of first teams for hockey?
Yeah, it's a weird one, really, isn't it? Because you'd obviously expect for the first team to, but I suppose logically, perhaps it's just the higher up you get, it's a higher standard, and then perhaps lower down, there's much less of a low standard, and therefore our second and third teams are able to sweep up the points much more convincingly. Birmingham, they've been our bogey team in the hockey recently. Every so often when we play them, we usually end up losing 1-0 or 2-1, and so it's a bit of a shame that we can't beat them again. I think we spoke last week about how we needed to be winning these sort of matches. We really wanted to cement a top 5, top 3 Bucks position. So I think that's something that hockey will need to be looking at further as they move forward.
Yeah, and guys, I mean, looking at the season, it's not much. We can't read into the results too much. There haven't been that many, and it's right at the start of the year. But Nottingham do find themselves third at the moment. Loughborough heading the table quite convincingly ahead. I mean, Durham aren't too far behind. Then it comes Nottingham. We're around 200 points behind Durham. Then behind us are Edinburgh and Exeter. I mean, we're finding quite high on the table at the moment. And third is pretty good for Nottingham. We don't normally do much better than this. I mean, what do you think we've got to do to keep up this kind of form for the rest of the year?
Well, we've come... In the time I've been at university, third is roughly the position I'd say that the University of Nottingham has achieved. Roughly around there. I think, did we slip off at the back end of last year?
Yeah, I think we came around fourth last year, fourth or fifth.
Yeah, Edinburgh beat us into fourth place. Yeah.
So, to come in third, our teams need to be performing to standard, to the standard we expect of them. The fact that, you know, you mentioned about a tenth of our points have come from the lower of the teams a tenth of the points have come from hockey, and that the majority of them have come from the teams, shows not that the first team is doing badly, but that the other teams are doing phenomenally well. It shows that we've got the strength in depth there that we can pick up a lot of points from the amount of quality players that we have right throughout the system. And so keeping up to performances, keeping up the standards and doing as well as we think ought to see us in third place to cement that place. And outperforming our expectations ought to see us potentially close the gap, if not catch up with Durham and well, maybe Loughborough's a bit much of an ask. But, you know, strange things have happened at sea.
I mean, Will, would you take a slightly more negative perspective, potentially? Because a lot of our sports that we've done well in this year and got the main points have been table tennis, tennis, badminton, hockey, lacrosse and futsal. I mean, a lot of these are indoor sports, which are kind of the winter, mainly winter sports. Do we think that we might struggle in the turn of the year with some of the sports we're less good at?
Yeah, that's what we always... Well, what I've heard is what we see is in the summer you get cricket, athletics, those sports where that's when we drop off. Like, we are challenging for the top, like second place. And then when we get to those sports, that's when we drop down. So I think, you know, you can't take away from our good sport, like the sports we're getting the points in, as you just mentioned. It's just difficult to then keep that up when you come to the other sports. So I think those sports now, obviously, out there, we're starting soonish. They need to look at the like the start the other sports have given them and try and maintain that and keep fighting up that leaderboard.
And guys, I think I was a little bit surprised, actually, when I saw Durham flying so high on the table, because from friends who go to the university and actually my own kind of open day experience, their facilities are nowhere near the same level as Nottingham. They don't have such big sports centres. They're more of a quite a small town with more focus on academics. So are we quite surprised? I mean, obviously Loughborough expects it at the top, but are we surprised to see a university like Durham to kind of be flying so high?
Obviously, I can't back some evidence, but I might infer that perhaps I think Durham has a relatively high number of privately educated students, and I'm wondering if they have the good facilities at their schools to give them the talents and abilities to perhaps succeed at university. Might be one idea that you could go with, perhaps. I think they do offer some sports scholarships, but I think it's a bit of fortune as to perhaps who's good at sport and fancy which university. So, you know, and also just different universities are good at different sports. You know, obviously Nottingham are really good at racket sports, and you might have Loughborough who are amazing at cricket or something, and so it just really varies. I think Durham are a bit more consistent across the board rather than being so exceptional at one particular sport, which I think benefits them overall when it comes to Bucks.
Very interesting. I think that was going to round up our chat on the Bucks to start with. But we're going to move on to another kind of not a university affair. And this is the Battle of Notts 2018, which will be taking place on the 20th of Feb at the Motorpoint Arena. This is the big ice hockey clash between Nottingham, University of Nottingham versus Nottingham Trent. I mean, we won the last year game on a penalty shootout after drawing 3-3 in normal time, with Luke Forton, who's the current chairman and manager, taking the decisive penalty. I mean, guys, the ice hockey teams, they don't participate in Bucks. How do you think that adds a kind of like a sense of importance to such a match? I mean, they don't kind of get followed, may get given the same importance that other kind of teams do. Do you think this kind of generates a bit more excitement around this game?
Well, it's hard to generate more excitement with the varsity fixture between the two. Is the what is it, the biggest ice hockey match outside of North America, or the biggest varsity ice hockey match outside of North America?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's an obscene fact. But the reason they don't compete in Bucks, the reason that there's only one team, it all feeds into one another. It's that there aren't many places with the facility to play ice hockey in the country. And so to ramp up the excitement for the Panthers and for the Nottingham ice hockey when it does get the chance to play, this is an excellent idea. As mentioned, the teams don't normally play separately. Varsity and varsity-esque events like this are the only time when they are not on the same team. It causes a slightly interesting question, because it means you can't judge strengths and weaknesses in the same way, because you're splitting up a unit to play as a separate thing. Is it good for the excitement? Absolutely. As I say, everything is, and ice hockey is loved in this city by these universities. But it's sort of hard to drum up more excitement than there already is.
But you mentioned... Oh, go on, Will.
Well, I was just going to say, it's just one of those events that's just going to bring excitement, like, obviously at the Motorpoint Arena, great venue, and also, it's one of those sports, you know, you don't usually watch that, but anyone can turn up to it and watch it, and it's going to be exciting. you can follow it. It's just an exciting game, isn't it?
Ah, the old Olympics argument that I don't watch this sport normally, but I'm going to watch it now.
I think that was like when we were talking about the Winter Olympics recently, wasn't it? We were saying about watching all the obscure sports like...
curling.
Curling especially, I think. So, yeah, would that be interesting if we had...
Curling's just lawn bowls on ice, nothing that... Yes, wait, but you guys don't watch lawn bowls?
No.
I mean, when I'm free on a Saturday, there's nothing finer I can think of to do with my life.
A Facebook stream of some bowls tournament came off my feed the other day. It was quite exciting.
Were you impressed by the quality and the atmosphere?
It was tense, to be fair.
An arena of fire, I think. We did the description of bowls.
But going back, I mean, we did mention how obviously the big varsity event is the ice hockey. But do you think this game isn't that far away from ice hockey? Do you not think some people might think, why not just wait? Why do I want to go to the Motor Point Arena twice to watch pretty much the same game?
Well, the argument will be that, as before, these guys don't get to play each other. They don't get to play this competitive nature. They don't get to drum up support from the students as much. What drums up support more than rivalry? You know, yes, the Nottingham Panthers, for example, are doing phenomenally well. But... that doesn't mean that people are going to go and watch student-based ice hockey. It's hard to find a way to drum up support that isn't this. And so, why not wait for varsity ice hockey? They will say, why wait?
Trigger, just a quick question, especially the first years in the room. I mean, do you think the university's done enough to promote this game? I mean, I personally, until a few days ago, only saw about it because my head of sport was kind of clicked interested on it. That's the only reason I've seen this event. I mean, has anyone out here actually heard about this game until before this chat here?
I don't think if I didn't do radio, I would have heard about it. I mean, I keep a greater eye on sport because of radio, and I think that they do need to do a lot more promotion. You know, how easy is it to get a few more social? How much harder is it, to get a few more social media posts out? Perhaps put some posts up around campus. It's not hard.
It's probably because it's an unofficial thing. It's not got necessarily the support of the universities.
It's been a yearly occurrence, so this is a third year now.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't. There might be reasons why they don't want to promote it, and without meaning to, I may be completely wrong, but without meaning to disparage the societies here, sports societies don't exactly have the best rep for keeping the most teetotal of events. And in the same way that the varsity darts is an unofficial event, because again, everybody knows that you go to the darts completely sober. In the same way, maybe they're sort of going, well, we can tolerate it once during the ice hockey, during the varsity, because it's a series of events and people are free to do what they want, unless you're using copyrighted music, and then we'll get you taken down off YouTube. If not, then, yeah, I can kind of see why it's unofficial, why it's not promoted by the universities. I might be wrong on that front. That probably isn't the reason, but if it's not the reason, it's a fairly obvious reason that they might be a little bit less keen to do so.
Yeah, but also just, we've discussed how both teams don't normally play against each other. They're normally on the same team. I mean, they both combine normally play for the Nottingham Mavericks. How the Nottingham Mavericks aren't doing particularly well this year. They've currently sitting second bottom in the league. They've only won one from five games so far. I mean, do you think it's quite a welcome break for them? This might kind of be the kind of impetus they need to kind of kickstart their season.
I was going to say, it must be nice for them to just get away, actually go against their teammates once, that maybe they're not happy with their performances of their teammates, now they're up against them.
This is a fantastic opportunity, if they've been unhappy with an opposing teammate, to say, oh, you know what, I've been unhappy with your performance for months. Ice hockey, again, a sport famous for not being... It's not really a sport, it's a fight and then occasionally some sport breaks.
Yeah, I remember when I saw a match in America a couple of years ago, within the first 10 seconds, the hockey sticks were thrown down and the New York Ranger player punched the Philadelphia Flyer guy in the face. I mean, it's boxing with a bit of ice, I think.
I mean, do you think that, because I saw a clip from a couple of years ago at the Varsity event when the actual fights broke out in the amongst a crowd at the Nottingham Varsity
event.
Yeah,
that's the wrong place to fight.
I mean, it made the Daily Star papers, which is, I think, maybe more testament to the Daily Star rather than the story itself. But
slow news day.
Yeah, slow. Do you think maybe it is a kind of sport? And kind of, as you said, that's why maybe the university kind of tries to push itself away from such events, because of the kind of
again,
the anger it generates.
Well, varsity generates. As I say, rivalry generates passion, and passion will generate this sort of... I mean, no one's condoning fighting, let alone amongst the players. That's bad enough, but in the crowd. I assume it's just not a university run event because of logistics. It's just implausible, impractical, and they just don't care enough. It's not worth the effort. If people want to go and see it, they want to go and see it. But for all the players care, if they want the rivalry, this could be behind closed doors.
I know how much you guys are enjoying the chat about ice hockey, so we're going to keep on that topic with the Nottingham Panthers, who have not had a great season themselves, like the Mavericks. They find themselves sixth in the table, which is around mid-table, but considering their success last year qualifying for Europe, it's been quite a disappointing season.
And their relative success in Europe as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, only getting knocked out by Zurich, I believe, who are one a decent side.
Yeah, Zurich are one of the best sides in Europe.
Zurich,
yes.
I mean, she's going well.
Yeah. Perhaps we should take Buxton for all the words he's going to say in the show, see if we can pronounce them all. But Zurich plays the Panthers. Zurich are a much better team. Panthers did really well to get to where they did in Europe, which was good. But you're right, they've gone downhill a bit since then. It's definitely been a season below standard for where they are. They're usually looking at a top three, top four finish, so to be in sixth place, I think, is quite a poor effort.
But that's not necessarily surprising, is it, if they've put their eggs in the Europe basket and making a name for themselves. And if you're going to try, if it's like most sports, that competition's going to be a bit more lucrative than the league. So they can come third or fourth or maybe better in the league every so often. But to do well in Europe for once is a change. It's a change for the fans, it's a change for the players, the management. It's good for the investment. I'm sure there's some American billionaires looking to take over the Panthers at some point. So it's understandable why, if you're going to go into Europe and do well in Europe for the first time in a while, weren't they the first English team to
win?
They were,
but they did go out of Europe, I think, in November, so I feel like that's a bit of a lackluster excuse.
It's only 2 months ago.
I don't think it's the greatest excuse for performing badly in January, say we did play some matches in Europe about 2 months ago.
I do think, though, around that game, I think they were actually nearer the top than they are now, so maybe they've just fallen away since then.
They actually haven't. I mean, until recently, they hadn't won. They had won, lost, sorry, 11 out of their last 15 games, so they had gone on a bit of a bad run. I think maybe leaving Europe, if anything, could kind of cause the results to plummet. But do we think their playoff hopes maybe kind of vanished a bit this season, especially now their star forward David Ling has returned home to Canada due to family commitments? Do you think his kind of leaving other clubs will kind of have a big impact on their performances?
Yeah, I mean, Ling was their top goal scorer, and he was, I think he brought other players along with him. It was sort of like a Ben Stokes within cricket, and sort of what you need is not just a player who's going to perform well and score goals as Ling did, but somebody who carries judgment with him through Ling by example, and I think he really did that. So I think he will be sorely missed. I think that could be an integral part of the reason why they've suffered a different form.
Yeah, do you think this is why maybe that some of the England teams might always struggle in ice hockey? Because obviously we don't produce enough domestic talent, and obviously we're quite a far away from Canada where most of the best players are produced. Do you think this is part of the reason why we struggle to compete on a European stage?
I think we're just looking to raise the profile of the game further in England. I mean, obviously the in sort of the colder parts of Europe, if you will, and North America is where the game is most prominent and most well played, and where you get the most talented players through. So I think it's just raising the level of it in England and having more ice hockey centres around the country that gives people a greater opportunity to play. Because obviously, if you say you live in the southwest as I do, I mean, I don't think there's an ice hockey team there, and you probably have to go to London to get to an ice hockey centre. So it's, I think, an increased number of ice hockey centres, more teams and greater media coverage will contribute to more English players coming through. And we won't see that develop over time until, I would say, 10 to 15 years, potentially.
Yeah, guys, is there any reason you particularly think that Nottingham's such kind of a big kind of centre for ice hockey? Do you think it's more the facilities led to the kind of development of ice hockey in the city, or more the other way around?
I think you'd have to go through a bit of both, really, wouldn't you? I mean, obviously the facilities help encourage people to play the game, I think it just generally stimulates interest. And I think also the local papers have been quite good at reporting it. The Nottingham Post always give a reasonable amount of coverage to ice hockey, which I definitely think helps.
So we're going to go straight into our chat about Nottingham Forest. Now we're going to talk first about their surprise win against Wolves, guys. I mean, it's a 2-0 win of goals from Kieran Dow and Osborne. So very big result for Nottingham Forest there, guys.
Well, absolutely enormous against the runaway leaders of the Championship. The irony, of course, that had they managed to beat Swansea, they would have also played Notts County a week apart. But certainly very impressive from a Forest team who are looking rejuvenated under even in the game against Arsenal, they looked better because they knew they were playing for a place under Karanka, and now he's there and he's impressing the need to play better on the team. They look hungry. They look like they want to win more. And that was definitely a criticism levelled at them earlier on in the season, that whilst the ability was there, the spirit wasn't. And we saw that in games like games against Bolton. Excellent. They won 3-2 against a Bolton team that at that point hadn't won in about 9 years. They made hard work of it. And it's against, you know, Bolton. They're terrible. But...
putting a knife in here for the resident Bolton fan, but...
Yeah, but... They are terrible.
Yeah, they are terrible. There's no denying that. But I think the thing that stood out in this game is not... no one's ever questioned the attacking side of Nottingham Forest. They've been getting goals all season, but they had a clean sheet.
They kept a clean sheet away at Wolves. I mean, pretty unheard of in the Championship.
Karanka's renowned for his kind of defensive kind of side of things. I mean, but to put it in that early on, guys, it's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and the thing was, it wasn't even just like they were hanging on. There weren't many chances for Wolves. You know, so that's just not just the defence, it's how the midfield work and how they work in is their shape and their team and their setup. So once they got those two goals, it was kind of comfortable seeing it out.
It was 40th and 43rd minute, I think. It was two fairly quick-fire goals. And that is the only way to play against a team like Wolves. Karanka got it spot on. Hold them, make sure that they don't dominate the game early. Even if you're not having chances yourself, don't let them just dominate the entire game. And then take advantage of your advantage. You know, there's never been a game of football that I've seen where both teams haven't, for at least a couple of minutes, had a few chances. Even Brazil put one past Germany that time. You know, like, you get chances. And even if you can't put them away, build on the advantage, make them work. And they got the first goal, and everybody knows that you're most vulnerable when you've just scored, or the opposition's at their most vulnerable when you've just scored. I don't really know how, because stats prove both of those to be true. So, very important, the way they played, as you say, the ability hasn't been questioned, the spirit has, and they've got a lot of work to do to win over the fans. But if they play like they did against Wolves...
Yeah, I mean, do you think... I mean, a small section of fans kind of questioned the sacking of Warburton. They said, we kind of sack managers all the time, we need stability. I mean, last season we were close to relegation, now we're mid-table. But do you think the kind of recent upturn in performance is kind of justify the sacking to a degree? I mean, there has been mistakes which haven't been rectified by Warburton. We all knew that they could play good football, but he didn't look to solve the defensive frailties.
The argument is the same, just approaching it from a different way. That stability is good, but stability needs improvement. That's the other side of stability. And if you're not seeing that from Warburton, and there is a potential to bring in a Karanka, who is known for fixing the defence, which was the problem that Forest had, then why wouldn't you go for it? Was it harsh to sack him? Possibly. They were doing better than...
I don't know, they were on quite a bad run, weren't they, when they sacked
him? They were on a terrible run, and two appalling results at the back end of last year. 3-0 home defeat to Sheffield Wednesday, who were managerless at the time. And then, what was it, a 1-0 loss at home to Sunderland, which is... You put the fact that 2 weeks apart they lost a 1-0 at home to Sunderland and beat Arsenal 4-2 and then beat Wolves 2-0 away. It's unheard of. It's utterly unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the crank effect's kind of worked so far, but do you think it's going to be enough to kickstart a playoff push, or do we kind of see them already turning their focus onto next season?
I don't think. I think, you know, 11 points, I think it is.
Yeah.
I've looked at the fixtures. I think the six of the next eight are relatively against teams around them, but 11 points, especially if the team's up there in good form, it's just not going to be enough.
Are we genuinely looking at Forest's position now and saying that if they don't make a playoff place, you'd be unhappy with their season? I think you have to take baby steps at a time. As you say, survived relegation on the last day last season. Anywhere that's comfortably in the division is an improvement. Is it a good enough improvement? I'd say so.
I think the priorities have changed, haven't they? I think 2 months ago you would have said we need to get in the playoffs, and now I agree with David that you need to ensure you stay in the league. So obviously that shows perhaps that Wilson sacking was justified, as the priorities have changed to a less positive step forward. So that might indicate, I mean, it's not mathematically impossible that they would get in the playoffs. I think it's very unlikely, but I think that they need to be looking for the future, and hopefully Karanka can build a solid team that will take them forward. He might be the man to take them perhaps all the way to the Premier League, but I think he can take them forward in the near future.
Coming out of that division any time in the near future is going to be a massive, massive ask. I don't see Forest as having good enough, being a good enough club in total, everything from training facilities through transfers through youth academy. I don't see them having a good enough base for now. Even really pushing playoffs is a big ask, because playoffs is always the form team wins. So if you come in sixth place, with you've won your last 15 games of the season, you're probably also going to win the playoffs. But I don't see Forest as being good enough, and you can retort that with, you know, well, Huddersfield and Brighton are in the
Bournemouth,
Premier League now. Bournemouth have very few facilities. Southampton,
teams like Fleetwood in League One. I mean, I know it's a different, but they were minnows.
Southampton came straight up, and they're not looking like going down anytime soon. But yeah, I don't think if that's how Forest fans think, they've got the danger of being eternally disappointed, and that's far, far worse than meeting low expectations is better than failing high expectations. And I can say that from absolutely positive confidence as an Arsenal fan, that if you set yourself expectations that your club is minimally expected to do and you meet them, then that's a better achievement than aiming loftily and failing miserably.
I mean, some might argue a European Championship win for Forest a few years ago, I mean, quite a few years ago, might kind of set the
quite
kind of bar,
a few years
set
ago.
The bar quite high for these fans. Though.
They're the only club, I think, is it? It might be in the world with more continental club trophies than country titles. It's.
I mean, yeah, Brian Clough was very successful in Europe, wasn't he? But he was perhaps less successful closer to home. So that might have. I think you're right in saying that could lift expectations unduly high to their current situation.
But currently, Britain's relationship with Europe isn't such that that's a massively important. Sorry, had to fit that joke in there somewhere.
I mean, turning kind of the focus back to the present, I mean, there hasn't been any signings so far in this January transfer window. I mean, it is the 25th. I mean, there's one player they are linked with, which is one of Karanka's old boys, in Adam Clayton from Middlesbrough. I mean, do we think this is a good signing? I mean, the team already seems to have quite a few midfielders.
Yeah, I. Whilst bringing in a better midfielder than that which they have isn't a bad thing, the other thing that Forest have shown more of in the last couple of weeks, as we mentioned, was spirit. And that's, you can't bring someone in necessarily to benefit that side of a team. That's something that's fostered by having the players work together. The longer they've worked together, generally the better that'll be. So to bring someone in, it might work with the manager, it might be a better player than that those that they've got. Is it a benefit for them? Maybe. It's hard to tell. To talk about the other team in Nottingham, Kev Nolan always says, and he said in a few of his press conferences, that it's more important the spirit that a player has. When he calls up managers and asks for players on loan, he doesn't ask how good are they, he asks what are they like, do they train hard, do they stay late at training and put extra practice in. And that's what Forest need right now. They don't need someone who's got the potential or is at the top of their game right now and is better than what they have. They need people who are going to work harder than others in the league, because that is what takes you from being a team that's happy enough with survival in the Championship. You've always got players that are good enough to keep you up, you're going to stay in the division, to a team that will be thinking seriously about getting in the playoffs, and maybe in a few years' time, well, maybe next year, who knows, looking for even higher than that.
This is URN Sport.